And currently we have 72 degrees in Bedford and Lynchburg, 73 in Danville, 72 in Roanoke and Salem.
Going to have Trey Watkins in the studio here in just a little bit. You did clarify something we've been talking about the last couple of days is my request when I walk into a Starbucks, which isn't very often, or any coffee shop, the Muse, whatever, I ask for a vanilla steamer.
Which I just think is hysterical.
It's just milk.
Because it's not coffee.
Milk and sugar and whipped cream.
Milk and sugar, whipped cream.
And a little bit of syrup, I guess, maybe vanilla syrup. Would that be right? Our in-house barista, which is Kaylee's, what she does when she leaves here, she...
Yeah, that would, I guess. We had a listener who sent in the definition.
Oh, well, thank you, whoever that was.
It was Teresa.
Thank you, Teresa.
So, yeah. So she sends you nice things about steamers, and then I get sad news about...
Puppy dogs.
Maybe he'll get another.
I'm sorry.
That's the dog I think you should get for Kara.
Well, she wants
a blue pity.
She wants a pity, but no pities will be in my house until Oliver's gone.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Because he would try to kill the pity, and then the pity would kill him pretty quickly.
You might be surprised at how reserved the pity can be.
Right.
If he has to be, and maybe he needs to understand that, you know, there are other dogs out there that can put him in his place.
Well,
I think at some point,
if we did that, we'd have to get a puppy pity.
Every being needs to understand that.
Right.
You know,
and so. We'd have to get a puppy pity, and Oliver would have to watch it grow up. And they say, man, this thing's getting big.
Yeah, that's right.
Like every day.
And can kick my tail.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. So. I think we need to find you a little blue, just a little blue staffy, and that would, life would be
might
so
take
good.
A staff to take care of it.
Yeah. Well, that's all right.
I don't know. Maybe Oliver could teach the pity a few things.
What are your thoughts on pities, Trey? Are you a dog person?
I am. I have two dogs.
Okay. What kind?
I have a schnoodle and I have a cockapoo.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm assuming you didn't pick either of those.
Believe it or not, I did.
Did you really? Okay. Yeah.
He's got depth.
Good for you.
I had neither time I had any idea or no intentions of buying a puppy. And then I walked in and just fell in love with the little puppies. I was
How about that?
Oh, man, this is not cool.
This is not good.
So I have a new rule of just not going in pet stores anymore.
Well, that's probably a good one.
Yeah, I just can't go in.
Yeah, I, of course, most of mine are rescue dogs, but there's a reason why I was never allowed to volunteer at the Humane Society.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of foster fails, so there's that going on. I'm just going to keep them for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
I've been fostering Buddy now for...
How long?
7 years.
7 years. That's a commitment. I think legally, Buddy's yours now.
Oh, he was mine the minute he stepped up into my car.
There you go.
And he knew it.
So we have a story. Biracial physician demoted after opposing critical race theory and Black Lives Matter. It is a Harvard-educated physician alleged she was demoted after her colleagues discovered her social media posts criticizing leftist movements and rhetoric. Dr. Tara Gastillo, who is a woman of color, claims she was demoted from her role as chairwoman of the OBGYN department. And
sounds like a nice lawsuit waiting to happen.
It would appear.
Should be good for her.
And she's biracial, so she's a woman of color, and she's a woman. Well, yeah,
and she. Mm-hmm. Is of color,
mm-hmm.
And she has gone to the efforts in her life and the dedication and the discipline to become a doctor,
right,
at Harvard, and now she's being canceled because she dared go against their talking points.
Yeah, they didn't like her opinion, mm-hmm. And she has, they claim that she was late to the meetings, poor communication skills, and was generally unfit to serve as the chair, is what her colleagues are saying.
So was she like that before they found her social media?
It appears that they didn't.
Hmm.
According to this article.
All right, help me understand, Trey. Do your thing.
Yeah, they're full of crap. They know goodness well it was about the worst thing.
Right.
You know, it's coming from experience and just understanding how you're being in those dynamics and how you're treated for thinking differently or thinking independently, mm-hmm. you develop a very good sense, you know, of the social dynamics of it. And it wasn't an issue and a problem, obviously, until they went on social media and saw how she really felt about, you know, some of these hot topics. And so I have no doubt in my mind that's what it is.
Why do you think it is that, and you've talked about this a little bit on the show before, as you were coming up, growing up and becoming a young man, mm-hmm. You experienced your own level of, I don't know what the phrase is that you want to use, but criticism, mm-hmm. from within your community for some of the choices that you made as far as your education, and you were basically accused of trying to be white, if I'm not mistaken, or something to that effect.
Yeah, I mean, that's just typically how it goes. You know, I went through many different challenges, you know, similar to that, but in other ways. But it's a, you know, crab in a bucket syndrome. You know, it's everyone's, it's very little resources and a lot of people trying to figure out how to get it done. And often things don't get done the way you want it to get done, because when people are presented with what it takes to get things done, you know, they tend to back away. When it comes to politics and tearing each other down for thinking differently, it's I don't want to say it's brainwashing, but it's obviously a lot of the media plays a very large role. And it couldn't be more obvious now, because we're getting evidence that people are just starting to see it for what it is, and they're turning their back. And that's why I feel like the Democratic Party or these, you know, progressive leftists are being so aggressive in their approach, because they feel their grip loosening up, you know, and they don't have that.
People are thinking independently.
Yeah.
They can't have that.
So they have to reinforce by any means necessary, and no matter how ridiculous it sounds,
to bring people down.
Yeah, and we all know it's the typical playbook and agenda. You know, they go straight for race. I literally heard someone say the other day that if you refuse to get the vaccine, you're a racist, and I'm like, wait,
if you refuse to get the vaccine, you're a racist?
If you're an anti-vaxxer, so-called, right? Uh-huh. Or if you just don't want to get the vaccine, then you're a racist. That has nothing to do with race.
How? Because you're trying to kill the black community?
I have no idea. It didn't even make sense. It's the same thing with what happened on January 6th. I'm like, I'm so lost at how race has anything to do with this. And I've seen so many people on the news or just on social media talk about race when it came to that day. And I'm like,
what are you talking about? Yeah.
Really had absolutely nothing to do with race. When you turn on the TV, you certainly could see that. But, you know, one of the Capitol officers might have been called out of his name, which is disgusting, right?
Right.
But
and it's overall, always been disgusting, and it'll always be disgusting.
There's thousands of people there. It's. I don't care what group of thousands of people you put anywhere. There's going to be some kind of comment like that made if there's a lot of, like, you know, tension and an environment like that. But it's just,
I find it fascinating that they're using that whole, you're racist if you don't get a vaccination, when there has been a real struggle to get the black community to even trust the government, mm-hmm. and to trust medical communities to even get the vaccine. That's been the problem, is they don't trust the and with good reason.
And that's let me clarify. I think what they were saying was, if you're white and aren't taking the vaccine, it's like white privilege, basically. It's you exercising white privilege. And I was like, I guess. I mean, the group with the highest percentage, you know, of unvaccinated right. people is African Americans. You know, and they continue to push the narrative that it's a Republican thing or a Trump thing, and I'm like, it's so ridiculous. If Donald Trump was the president right now, those same people mm-hmm. would be totally against vaccines. We know that for a fact.
Because Donald Trump helped develop and speed up the vaccine.
And when Trump was mm-hmm. president, that's exactly what they were doing. They doubted it every step of the way, all the way up into the election. And then even, I mean, they've shown several comments. I remember watching the Pence-Harris debate, and Mike Pence just totally just went into Kamala Harris. Right. Over, well, why do you continue to... shame this vaccine and lower the public trust, you know, with this vaccine. You know, it's,
when you have a higher calling to protect
it's
the
people.
It's
like, why wouldn't you? We're trying to solve this issue of COVID. Why are you downplaying the vaccine? And we're miraculously coming up with this vaccine, and you're doing everything to tear it down. And these same people are then trying to call you racist for not trusting the vaccine. When they say they wouldn't trust the vaccine, if Donald Trump was the president, that's what Kamala Harris said.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's guess
never
what?
Makes sense.
It's the same vaccine.
Yeah. As far as I know.
Oh my gosh.
It's the same Joe Biden that she called racist.
Well, so like, when we come back, man. I want to talk to you about a new, there's some podcasts out there that are kind of talking about some of the same things that we're talking about. We'll talk about that a little bit when we come back. You're listening to The Morning Jam here on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
Start your mornings on the right foot and listen to The Morning Jam, 6 to 9 a.m.
A short drive will save you money.
Car buying is simple at Feller Chevrolet. You can buy online or at the store. It's quick, easy, and a clean, safe environment. We have non-commissioned salespeople and a 3-day money-back guarantee, so you can buy with confidence. Feller's is also here after the sale. We can do warranty work on all GM cars, not just Chevrolets, and our techs can service all makes and models. No matter what your automotive needs, I promise we can deliver. So come see us. You'll be glad you did.
If you are the owner or CEO of a company and want to have access to the 14th ranked golf course in the state of Virginia by Golf Digest, you will want to listen carefully to this offer. My name is Jacob Mass, and I'm the head golf professional at Poplar Grove Golf Club. Did you know that Poplar Grove is now offering corporate memberships for a limited time? That's right. Your company can now include you and up to 3 of your top employees on one membership. For more information, check out our website, poplargrovegolf.com. We're Poplar Grove Golf Club. Have you seen us lately?
Attention! This is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-506-9619. 800-506-9619. That's 800-506-9619.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
8:21, it's the Morning Jam. We got Trey Watkins in the studio. We bring Trey in to cover things like critical race theory and others, because it's so much in the news, and it will continue to be in the news. It seems to be one of two topics that really have been lighting up the school board meetings across the state of Virginia and really across the country. That would be critical race theory and the whole transgender issue that we are now faced with because of what the state legislation did, along with the, as we call them, Lord Northam in the state of Virginia.
But we're talking about off the air. How did we get to this spot? I was telling Trey about there's a podcast out. It's called Life as a Gringo, mm-hmm. is the name of the podcast. And I was kind of fascinated by the the name of that, about what that was about. And apparently, it's about an American-born Latinos who kind of live in this whole gray space where their families, especially their families who don't live in America, literally call them gringos, tell them that they're too white, and then when they're in America, they're reminded that their house smells funny and they eat weird foods and your music is weird. And it's a life seen through the eyes of someone who feels at home in both places and yet home in neither place. And I think that's kind of a little bit about what we were talking about.
Yeah, that's the life of a black conservative, you know, so to speak. It's man, I'm like a unicorn in my family. You can imagine with my holidays
a magical unicorn
conversations that I have with my family. You know, needless to say, they completely disagree with almost everything that I say.
Wow.
Now, is that your immediate family too, or mostly your
not my wife and kids, but much everybody else. And it's not we have healthy discussions.
You know, which is good.
And they're at least willing to listen.
Okay.
But I'm never having that discussion with the hopes that I'm going to convert someone or change their point of view. And, you know, it tends to get emotional. We're a very close-knit, you know, open family. And so, you know, we'll say things and, you know, but it's all in the, you know, it's all fun. We're just trying to understand each other. And sometimes it comes from a place of, you know, health or just wanting them to know, you know, I'm like, hey, this, I wouldn't continue to listen to this person. You know?
I have people that I, in my life that I'm really quite fond of that I just, and our heated conversations come from a standpoint of, I just don't understand how you can support this agenda.
Yeah.
How can you support, how can you say you value the things that you value and then support that agenda? That's when things get really kind of heated up and worked up. And I'm sure that's probably the case with you.
Yeah, the BLM arguments get pretty tense. You know, it's...
because some of that is very real. When you have experiences where... you are automatically suspected of something because you're a black man.
Yeah, and I've had that
sucks.
Experience.
Of course you have.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and that's why they hate arguing with me, because I'm like, nah, I've had those experiences, and I know what I'm talking about, I understand both sides of that argument, you know, and I understand how you can get emotionally whipped up into a frenzy where you're no longer. It's no longer about facts. It's all about your feelings. And I've been on that side of it where it's like, you know, and it's very real for people who believe that. But it's like when you take a step back and you see the puppet master and the media just kind of, you know, manipulating and poking at you at various specific times, very specific years. You know, it's like it takes a while to see it. And, you know, people. Like I said, people want to hang on. They want to be a part of a group or a movement, or they feel the need to, you know, be a part of something. Mm-hmm. And typically it's something that, you know, they're invited to or that appeals to them. And so once people are latching on, it's hard to get them off. And nowadays it's done so publicly, like on social media,
right?
To where even when you do run into that new information, you know, it's like that cognitive dissonance where you have strong beliefs and then you run into that information that totally conflict what you believe. Now you're at a crossroads. It's like, you know, do you take that new information and apply it and now, you know, change your perception and your beliefs? Or do you find a way to reject it, you know, so that you can hang on to those strong beliefs because they benefit you in some way, or you're just comfortable with, you know, with where you are? And that's really what it is. We just have a hard time letting go despite the evidence, you know. And I tell people that all the time. I said, man, I try to save face with a lot of people because, like, man, I could really argue you down into the dirt. Like,
right,
I have so much evidence against your argument.
Right. But is it worth doing it?
You know, and are they, you know, and I've had experiences where I've went that route, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And it just forced that person into a corner to be so defensive and fight back. And so,
right. And because then if you try, my mother always said, if you try to rationalize with an irrational person, you're never going to, you're not going to get anywhere. We have a listener from Roanoke who wants to know if you have ever seen the show, the Netflix original called The Push.
I have not.
It talks about social engineering, which is basically brainwashing and creating environments where interactions condition someone to think and act a particular way.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So, because I looked it up, it's a Netflix special, Darren Brown, The Push, where mentalist Darren Brown engineers an audacious social experiment demonstrating how manipulation could lead an ordinary person to commit an appalling act. Huh.
Oh, yeah.
I think maybe we're going to have to check that one out.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I think what we are seeing is a great deal of our society being manipulated and willingly being manipulated.
Yeah, by the masses. And it's willing, but it's I see it on both sides. It's like, on one end, I'm like, man, this is done very well to manipulate these people. But on the other end, it's like, they're doing a terrible job. Like,
and
Joe
you're
Biden.
Still falling for it.
Yeah, and it's like, yo, it literally could not get more obvious than, you know, President Fauci and President Biden and Harris. It's like, and we saw this the entire election. It was so phony and such a bad act. But, you know, hatred is always going to, you know, outweigh the love, I guess. Mm.
You know, places like the Foundation Against Intolerance and Racism, who posted Dr. Tara Gastillo's article here. Organizations like that, I just ran across one Trey not too long ago that we're actually going to interview this gentleman. It's called the Free Expression Foundation. Mm-hmm. And their existence solely is so people will be able to have communications and share ideas, because it seems like if you've got the wrong idea, it can get shut down in a New York minute.
Oh yeah, and they're going to find every way they possibly can.
And our educational institutions were supposed to be places where those kinds of discussions happen. And I was talking to this gentleman named Thomas Caldwell. We're going to have him on our show here in the next week or so. How it gets shut down before it even starts, and Ann Coulter or Ben Shapiro shows up on campus, and the snowflakes have a meltdown to the point where they don't even allow, or if they were set up to speak in the big room, let's call it, where there could be 1,000 people, now they're relegated to a room that can hold 30 people, and there's security everywhere. I mean, the left wants to shut down speech.
Yeah, they want to shut down anything that's gonna develop America or keep America great, you know, or make us great again. It's I look at the VMI situation, and it continues to be very frustrating. But the more I've thought about it, it's like, of course, why wouldn't they attack VMI? Mm-hmm. We produce, you know, independent, you know, strong, deep thinking, intelligent leaders of character. Why wouldn't they attack VMI? It makes a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah. Well, you know,
to destroy institutions like that.
You always take out, if you're in a bar fight, you always take out the big guy first. Yeah. That's just how that works. Mm-hmm. That's undermining 101. And of course, I think all of this, you mentioned a few minutes ago that this is a desire of people wanting to belong. And I think a lot of this we see from the breakdown of the American church and the fact that people don't have that relationship with Christ anymore. The church isn't doing a very good job at reaching out to other people and helping them have that relationship. And people are always going to be searching to belong to something.
Yep.
And if it's not something constructive and eternal,
right,
as that is the only thing that is, this is what we're left with.
Very true.
You know?
Trey Watkins, thanks for stopping in again on the Morning
Jam. No problem, as always, man.
If you caught part of Trey's interview, we're going to put it up on our SoundCloud. You can hear the whole thing later on this morning. Go to SoundCloud and just simply type in The Morning Jam on VTRN, and then type in like 729. That's today's date, and it'll take you right there. Trey, we'll catch you next week, bud.
All right, man.
CBS News Brief. President Biden's expected to announce new COVID vaccination requirements for federal workers today. The alternative to shots, strict testing and masking. CBS's Laura Podesta says corporate America's gone first.
Apple is requiring customers and staff to wear masks inside about half of its U.S. stores, while Facebook and Google said employees must be vaccinated before they return to their offices.
CBS News confirms President Biden will meet with almost a dozen Democratic lawmakers at the White House today to talk about steps to provide a path to citizenship for Dreamers. Federal judge recently ruled DACA is illegal. 17 Republicans joined Democrats in the Senate to approve a bill paving the way for a vote on the president's $1 trillion infrastructure package. West Virginia's Joe Manchin says there's no reason for partisanship.
That pothole doesn't have a Democrat or Republican's name on it. It'll bust your tire. Doesn't care who you are.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Good morning. This is Kimberly McBroom in the WDBJ 7 Newsroom with your Virginia Talk Radio Network news update. Governor Northam says his team is reviewing CDC masking guidelines and expect to release new recommendations in the next few days. In the past week, the Roanoke City and Allegheny Health District has seen 230 new COVID cases. The district director says 97% of those are in unvaccinated people. This time around, Carilion Clinic leaders say the hospital is more prepared for a surge. Doctors say the Delta variant of COVID-19 is believed to be the main strain in Virginia and accounts for about 80% of new cases. Happening tonight, the Bedford County School Board will hold a special meeting. The board will be discussing updates on guidelines pertaining to transgender students. Part of those updates include guidance on restroom usage. The meeting starts at 6 p.m. I'm Kimberly McBroom. Join me for WDBJ 7 Morning from 4:30 until 7 every weekday morning. And join us from 7 to 9 on WZBJ 24.
Hey folks, Mark Dalton here with the Terry Auto Group. Are you looking for a new VW? I got you covered. Are you looking for a new Subaru? I've got you covered. So you're looking for a pre-owned used vehicle? Well, guess what? I've got you covered there too. We have four locations with close to 400 pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs, as well as new VWs and new Subarus. So when you're in the market for your next vehicle, think Terry Auto Group, where we have your safety at the top of the list. And we'll make your purchase experience the best you've ever had. In fact, we'll even bring the car and set it in your driveway so you can test drive it right from your house. We also include a lifetime powertrain warranty on all of our new VWs and new Subarus. So check us out 24/7 at terryautogroup.com. That's terryautogroup.com. You'll love our cars.
Making sense of all the nonsense. It's Tom Sullivan.
Here's the situation. If you go into the wrong neighborhood of any big city, you all have bad parts of town. And in those bad parts of town, there's a lot of crime. And I feel so sorry for the people that live there because they're poor, and they are the ones who have to deal with the criminal element in their neighborhood.
Tom Sullivan, weekdays from 3 to 6 on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
It's time for your Morning Jam forecast, brought to you by WDBJ7.
I'm meteorologist Brent Wyatt. Partly to mostly sunny today, hot, highs at 95. Look for lows in the low 70s tonight with a stray shower. On Friday, 94 the high with a 20% chance of showers, lows at 65. That cool front brings in less humid air over the weekend and slightly cooler too, with daytime highs Saturday in the mid and upper 80s, overnight lows in the low 60s.
And currently we have 73 degrees now in Roanoke and Salem, 75 in Danville, 73 in Bedford, and 75 in Lynchburg.
Okay. The number of people getting vaccinated in Virginia continues to plateau while the Delta variant is not showing any signs of slowing down. Yesterday, the Virginia Department of Health reported that more than 1,000 new COVID cases were reported for the first time since April. Healthcare workers are the first people to deal with patients who test positive for COVID-19, and one of the first places they turn to, typically, are the urgent care centers. Patients show up, they're very short of breath, or they are just distressed and very sick. Urgent care centers are important to the local communities because they see COVID patients repeatedly if symptoms do not go away. So, you know, be ready if you're going to go to one of those. If you choose not to go to the emergency room, you could be waiting a little bit. So just be aware of the symptoms. If someone in your family is just not feeling good, you know, talk to them about it. Find out really what's bothering them because they could be suffering from COVID. We want to make sure that we catch this as soon as we can because your chances, you know, of maybe survival could depend on how early you catch it, not going around a week or two feeling bad, maybe infecting
thinking
others.
Thinking it's allergies and yeah. That type of thing. Yesterday, Virginia Governor Ralph Northam said his team's reviewing possible changes to the state's mask-wearing guidances after the CDC came out with revised recommendations. We knew that was coming. Mm-hmm. In a reversal, the CDC said all students and staff at pre-K schools should be wearing masks indoors, regardless of their vaccination status. The agency also advised fully vaccinated people to put their masks back on in indoor public settings in areas where coronavirus transmission is substantial or high. Northam said he was not given advance notice about the CDC changes. He said he heard about it just like everyone else did. The announcement came just days after a new mask policy in Virginia took effect, giving localities the final say on face coverings. Many districts have already announced plans to make mask wearing optional, something Northam didn't directly address on Wednesday. Instead, Northam encouraged all Virginians to get vaccinated.
Okay. A Lynchburg woman was convicted of being an accessory in a 2018 Forest murder. Nadia LaShaw McDaniel was convicted on Tuesday for the death of 22-year-old Aaron Brumfield, who was shot and killed in his home on River Oak Drive in Forest back in 2018. She had previously been found guilty of robbery and other charges connected to the case. At the time, a prosecutor said three people were armed, wearing masks, and crawled in through an unlocked window, robbed Brumfield and his roommate, and then shot him. The judge sentenced her to 23 years, but suspended all but the 8 years that she is left with, so she will serve 8 years in prison for her role in that murder.
Okay. Wow. A lot going on.
Yeah, there is.
A lot going on. And we're going to try to keep you guys abreast of it. We're also going to keep you abreast of some of the fun things, like National Lasagna Day is today.
And it's Life Hack Thursday.
It is Life Hack Thursday,
too. It is. Are you ready for a new one?
I am. Let's do it.
All right. If you ever find yourself in need of a sharpening stone and you don't have one.
Okay. Like you want to sharpen your knife or whatever, yeah.
Knife, scissors, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. I found this particularly useful like when you're in a rental situation.
Okay.
You can use the bottom of a ceramic mug. They usually have that flat, unglazed section on the bottom.
I could see that.
It works great for giving that dull knife or any blade a quick sharpen.
Okay.
So, yeah. Flip that bad boy open and...
Man, I just thought of another use. It could be one of Mark's life hacks. It wouldn't be Janet's. I'm thinking about like exfoliation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I have those stones. Have you ever seen this? They're about the size of a bar soap.
What are you exfoliating with?
You know, like your hands or your feet or whatever. You know.
With a coffee mug?
With a coffee mug. Okay. That would look weird. What are you doing with that cup over there?
I don't know that there's enough surface area for that, but maybe.
Probably not. But I can see what you're saying because there's little pits and holes and stuff like that on the bottom because it's not glazed. It's not been purified,
that's right.
so to speak.
So you can just use it, and it's like the perfect size, and you can kind of get an edge.
So if I ever get stranded, I'm going to look for a coffee cup to sharpen up my little, you know, what is the knife that everybody carries? The pen knife? No. It's a certain name. My father-in-law has one, dadgummit, and the name slips my brain right now.
Are you talking about the ones that has the Leatherman's tool?
Leatherman's, that's what it is, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Of course, you know.
Girls have that too. I had a Leatherman's tool in my little toolbox when I was doing events.
Yeah.
Here's one more life hack for you. Okay. If you are ever like us around here with pens that are dead, like always...
I tried to bring in some pens.
I'm very, very picky about, I've got to have Sharpies at my house at all times. Yeah. I use Sharpies a lot.
Sharpies, yeah.
Whether I'm marking my my food storage or whatever. If you're wanting to bring a dead Sharpie back to life, especially if you're like, it's not even that old. Maybe somebody left the lid off of it or something. You can bring your permanent marker back to life by simply removing the back of the marker, the top of the marker, that nib, and put a few drops of rubbing alcohol onto the felt material. Mm-hmm. Shake the marker to make sure that the alcohol is absorbed, and the ink will be mixed in, making the pigment able to flow.
Yeah.
Once the felt absorbs all that rubbing alcohol, the marker will be practically as good as new.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
I've used this one.
Yeah.
It does work.
I tell you what else would work would be, don't you ladies use nail polish remover? It's almost like acetone in a way, and it may have some
acetone.
It is acetone. Okay.
Mine is acetone.
Okay, so that would actually work as well. It would bring it back to life. I've actually used lacquer thinner because I was on a job site and I needed, and it went dead.
Well, now
like
I
you
keep
said.
Rubbing alcohol all the time.
Yeah.
At the house for a variety of reasons. Yeah. But right. That'd be a good one.
All right, we got a caller on the line. Good morning. You're on the Morning Jam.
Hey guys.
Hey.
Thomas, what's up?
Hey Thomas.
I hear you have a life hack. I hear you have a life hack.
Well, I had to pull over after Mark said exfoliating or whatever that word he said.
Exfoliate, yes.
I'm like, and then he'd taken my coffee cup and scratching his back with it. I'm like,
no, I didn't say my back.
His hand. Yeah.
Yeah, my foot or my hand. Yeah, I don't use it on my back.
Oh, yeah, the foot's so much better.
Well,
I'd rather you use it on your back than your foot. Your coffee, you're going to use a coffee cup on
your
foot?
You know what? If you kept the coffee in it.
You leave the hacks to me.
You pour the coffee out and it's still warm. Then it's like one of those hot stones on your back.
Oh, Lord.
You know, Janet knows my wife very well. And I can get my wife, now, honey, can I borrow your coffee cup for a minute? I want to scratch my foot.
Exactly.
No.
That's why we don't let Mark do the life hacks as a rule.
that could be dangerous, man. That's from Mark. I love you, brother, but you got to.
I got problems, man. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, I
wasn't getting that personal, but yeah, you do have some problems. But, you're still young. We can work with you.
Well, thank you.
We try anyway. Thomas, have a great day.
I got you.
Oh,
Rita texted in. She says she's used the bottom of coasters to sharpen. For sharpening or using. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Alcohol and Sharpie. She's done all those too. Yeah.
And she's made coasters using Sharpies, alcohol, and ceramic tiles. Well, okay.
Yeah.
You can send those right on over to me. I'd like to see that. I'd like to check that out.
Yeah. Really. Good deal.
I was going to send out a text thread yesterday.
Okay.
To propose vintage only items for Christmas this year.
Oh.
I was going to say handmade, but not everybody's gifted in that area.
Sure.
So.
I'll tell you, I didn't tell you this the other day.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's left over at Farm Basket, but everything was 75% off.
Uh-huh.
I bought, well, let's just say I spent $25 at Farm Basket. So you can imagine what I got, $100 worth of stuff for 25 bucks. And it's been picked through, but I found some pretty cool things. There might be a few left if you wanted to, get a nice, inexpensive gift for Christmas. Yeah.
Okay. So you did some early shopping, did you?
I did.
Nice.
Yep.
For anybody I know.
Yeah. I got it for my wife.
Oh.
I gifted her.
Good
I said,
for
look
you.
What I found. And she was so excited because I got it on
sale. Did
you
already give it to her?
I gave it to her already.
Why? Men are terrible at that. So you went shopping for Christmas and you gave it to
her?
Well,
no, I didn't know. No, I didn't necessarily go for Christmas. I just got her these because one of them, well, two of them, no, three of them. Three of the four things have to do with wine.
Mm.
It was one of these things you could put your corks in and it builds up. It's got a big slot. And then one was a four holder, cool looking metal thing that could hold four bottles of wine.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the other could be used as a flight thing.
And they're getting ready to...
But she doesn't have a drinking
bottle. They're getting ready to... Okay. They're getting ready to open up, reopen again. under new ownership.
Sell everything off and then new
Which ownership. I think is interesting that they're looking to revamp everything, apparently.
Okay. I'm excited to see what comes of it. While I was there, of course, I got their famous, you know, their chicken salad sandwich.
Their box lunches awesome. And stuff. I hope they'll it's time stick for to Janet's the true
five and dine yeah. on the Spirit. Morning Jam. Give her 5 minutes, and she'll give you some great inspiration for a delicious meal tonight.
Five and Dine brought to you by our friends at F&L Market. They're on Memorial Avenue in Lynchburg. They are locally owned. They are family owned. They're an independent grocery store, and they have a fantastic meat department there that is second to none. And if you're looking for a legitimate butcher that you'll know by name, you want to go by there and meet the butchers at F&L Market because they're going to take care of you. Today on Five and Dine, we have a very easy recipe that's going to get dinner ready in a flash. It is a fajita casserole. We love fajita flavors at our house. We have lots of peppers and onions in right now. And so if you're a fan of those fajita flavors, you'll really like this recipe. You're going to start by preheating your oven to 350 degrees, lightly grease a 9 by 13 inch baked dish. And you're going to shred some baked chicken breast into that 9.5 dish. It's a pound of chicken that you're going to shred and put in there. It's a great way to use leftover rotisserie chicken as well. Then you're going to heat some olive oil in a skillet over medium-high heat. Add strips of multicolored bell peppers. Sometimes I'll throw some poblanos in there as well, along with your onions, and sprinkle it with a little salt. Cook it until the veggies are nice and soft and a little charred. Remove them from the heat. Add that to the chicken, and then in a large bowl, combine a block of cream cheese. I like to cut that up into pieces, and some of your shredded Mexican cheese, some fajita seasoning mix, salt and pepper. Mix it till it's thoroughly combined, adding your sour cream to that, and then put that mixture in with the chicken and peppers until everything is well combined, and then put it in that dish, top it with a little extra shredded cheddar, and bake it for about 30 minutes till it's hot and bubbly. Serve it with some tortillas, maybe some rice and beans on the side. Mm-hmm. It's delicious, and it's great as a leftover too. Want to find that recipe? Go on Facebook, type in Janet's Five and Dine. You'll see that and all the other recipes that we share right here on the show, brought to you by F&L Market, where their meats are a cut above.
Before you fire up the coffee maker, turn on the Morning Jam with Janet and Mark on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
I come from a long line of Southern cooks, and one thing my mama always told me was ingredients matter. That's why I trust the experienced butchers at F&L Market, Lynchburg's only locally and family-owned independent grocery store. Their staff cuts and grinds fresh meats daily and will offer you the personal service you desire for everyday meals or special occasions. This week at F&L Market, keep that summertime grilling going with family-packed ground beef, $2.79 a pound. Family pack ribeye steaks are $9.99 a pound. Save on Philly Gourmet Angus beef patties for $5.99 for a 24-ounce pack. Large size Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce is 2 for $4. Sweeten things up with Duncan Hines cake mix, just 99 cents. Stop by F&L Market today, 2517 Memorial Avenue, Lynchburg. Their meat is a cut above.
Millions of Virginians enjoy fishing, hunting, and outdoor activities. But for wounded veterans, such pleasures can be difficult. Hi, I'm Bill Gust, a partner with Gentry Locke Attorneys. Of the 10,000 acres conserved for public use by the Wildlife Foundation of Virginia, 2,000 acres near our area have been made wheelchair accessible for our wounded military heroes. Join Gentry Locke in showing appreciation for the Wildlife Foundation of Virginia. Learn more and donate today at vawildlife.org.
Sponsored by Gentry Locke Attorneys, Roanoke, Lynchburg, and Richmond.
If you're a business owner, you know what you mean to your customers. A local pro, a neighborhood problem solver, a person who will steer them right. Hi, I'm Chip Harvey.
And I'm Kim Gardner. And as State Farm agents, we're no different. We run a small business too, so we're perfectly positioned to understand your needs and help you protect your small business. So stop in and talk with me, Kim Gardner, in the Amalon Shopping Center in Madison Heights.
Or me, Chip Harvey, on Timberlake Road next to McDonald's. And let's talk about your small business insurance today.
Make a lasting impression. Lunch at the Crown Sterling, Lynchburg's crown jewel dining establishment. It's the best way to make a lasting impression, whether that's businesses or catching up with someone important. Every dish on the Crown Sterling's lunch menu is $12 and under and still features signature sandwiches, handcrafted burgers, and other specialty items with a salad bar that's now open. Make a lasting impression at the Crown Sterling, serving lunch weekdays 11:30 to 2 p.m. and dinner every Monday through Saturday.
Personal protection, it can be intimidating to some. In this country, we need it more than ever. I'm Marco Galbraith, owner of T4 Tactics, located in Lynchburg, Virginia. I travel the country delivering the very best in active shooter response plans, personal protection, situational awareness, and firearms training. My approach is not based on fear, but giving the participant the education, training, and confidence to recognize trouble, avoid it, or successfully handle it. Let my experience and scholarly research work for you. Contact me now at T4Tactics.com.
It's the Morning Jam, 751. Janet Rose, Mark Lamb, Kaylee Hemer. And Janet, you've got a little soundbite for us. Do you want to play that?
No, don't tell me. Let me guess. We are a bride in search of a wedding.
Do you know that scene?
No. Oh, gosh.
No.
There is a wedding in search of a bride.
I remember.
Yeah, Smokey the
Bandit.
She
looked so pretty in that wedding dress in that Trans Am.
Well, it didn't stay on long because it went flying out the window. Apparently, they've had something similar happen in Texas.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There is a tollway officials in Texas who say they're trying to find the owner of an unusual piece of debris rescued on the side of the highway. Workers doing a cleanup project on the Dallas North Tollway in Frisco spotted a white box at the side of the road that contained a wedding dress.
Oh, the whole kit and caboodle was in there.
Everything.
Wow.
White dress, train, the veil, everything. Mm-hmm. They insist it's not a Sally Field Smokey and the Bandit moment. This is clearly a memory that someone's been cherishing and taking care of. They say the documents inside the box indicate that it was more than 20 years old, but the papers didn't provide many other clues. He said they will hold it for 90 days while authorities try to find the owner. So,
what is a? I mean,
now it's a dress in search of its original bride.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what does a wedding dress cost? I mean, let's just say you want to buy a middle of the road wedding dress.
A middle of the road
mid cost, not the high, because I know you can spend thousands and thousands.
I would
of dollars.
Say probably a realistic idea for most brides around here would probably be $800 to $1,200.
Okay.
No?
I would say $3,000 to $5,000.
No.
Really? Wow.
Not around here.
Three was like the median, I would say.
Yeah. I never had a bride that spent that much on them, but we are blessed with places like
yeah, we've got some.
The Y place like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for a lot of people, even spending $800 to $1,200 would be a lot. But you're right. If you're going to go to a designer or pay full price, then
yeah, if you're like close to a city, even I feel like that ups the cost.
Yeah,
depending on where you are.
I can tell you, I never had brides that spent. Now I had some that spent that much, but they really tried hard to stay under 15.
Yeah.
Which is just ridiculous for a dress when you think about it.
Oh yeah,
that's a ridiculous amount of money.
Our dance dresses were like 2,000 sometimes.
Oh, wow.
It was nuts.
Well, yeah, and I mean, if you're gonna spend that much on a dance dress, that probably didn't seem too high for you.
Oh, which that's a lot of money for me and for like my family. It's right. Not like a cavalier amount, but yeah, no, it's just crazy how much something like that costs.
How many times
sometimes.
Did you wear that dress?
Dance.
Mm-hmm.
Competitions. I don't know how many a year. Very regular competitions.
Mm-hmm. So you wore the dress. It wasn't like wedding dress that you would wear one
time.
No,
yeah.
So it almost is like, you know, that makes
more sense.
That would be a little less painful than literally. Yeah. And now you've got these women who want not just one wedding dress. They want three wedding dresses.
Why?
Because they want one for the ceremony, and then they want one for when they come into the reception, and then they want one for later that evening.
Oh, when they exit? So it's like three?
Well when they exit or when they just want to party more.
Oh.
So, you see that, and I'm just like spoiled. Wow. And I'm pretty sure half those don't make it 6 months. But anyway.
Wow.
On to happier stories.
Yeah, well, you would think a wedding would be a happy event.
Well, not with the stats of how they're ending. We have the sad dog story earlier.
Yeah, we did.
How about a happy story?
I would like a happy dog story.
A Wisconsin man was reunited with his family's missing dog nearly 2 years after he lost him because he spotted the canine in a TV news segment about adoptable pets.
Wow.
The Wisconsin Humane Society said that a man named Dwight got in touch with them after watching an adopt-a-pet segment that featured a dog he recognized as Payday, his family's long-lost pet.
Oh, wow.
He said Payday's been missing for 2 years. He was reunited with his family later the same day at the WHS Milwaukee campus. They shared a video of the reunion. Payday was originally bought home as a companion for Dwight's now 12-year-old daughter, who was still distraught over the loss of her best friend. Mm-hmm. Mom Melissa came to pick up the beloved pup, and it was an incredible reunion.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Yeah,
I'll take it. Yeah, it's a pretty sweet. It's a pretty sweet video.
Yeah.
When you see that, I like it.
Yeah, I mean, you hear these stories. Well, we had the one about the cat. Not long
I
ago.
Know.
That was because you don't usually hear those about cats.
Right. And then the video is sweet, though. Payday's very happy and does recognize Mom, even with the mask on. Knows exactly who Mom is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of sweet. Very, very excited. My son's girlfriend, her cat has like wandered off.
Mm-hmm.
And has never done that, and they're afraid something has happened to it. I'm like, look, with cats, you don't know.
Yeah,
they may pop up later.
Well, we've had two stories. One actually embedded itself like in the engine compartment.
Right,
went for a long ride, and then we had the one that the lady kind of adopted this cat because it wandered, and then the lady moved to New Jersey or whatever. And I can't remember how that story came together, but.
Did the cat follow?
Well, no, the cat, she sort of adopted it because it was a stray.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow the owner found out that she got her cat, and then they reunited. So those kinds of things happen. But the dogs ones are amazing where they've traveled hundreds of miles to get
story.
Back.
Well, I had two, Trapper and Ginger, where they were brother and sister, and they were little beagles, and they were stolen.
Yeah.
And those dogs made it home. It was almost a year and a half later.
Yeah.
And they were skinny, and they had been traveling for a long time. You could see their pads were very worn.
Right.
But those dogs made it home. How they made it home, I have no idea.
Do they know how to read the stars?
And, yeah.
I mean, you know.
It just makes you wonder how on earth. Now, they were beagles.
Right.
But how on earth did they find their way home?
Sure.
But they did. They made their way home. They were skinny, but
you were able to rehabilitate them, I'm sure.
It
and get
was
them back.
Like, it was surreal. It was like I was probably, I don't know, 13.
Okay.
And to see those pups coming up the driveway after all that time.
Oh, that must have been something.
It was joyous, but it was almost like it wasn't real.
Right.
Yeah. Because I was just overwhelmed by it. And my dad was like, that is unbelievable.
Yeah. Jeez.
But they knew where home was.
That's right, and they found it.
They
did. That's so cool.
Yeah. Hey, we hope you have a fantastic day. We'll be back tomorrow. I can't believe it's Friday already.
Friday's, yeah. And we're gonna do our best to do a fake news Friday tomorrow because I have an amazing story. You don't know if it's good or fake. We'll find out tomorrow. In the meantime, make today awesome, Kayla. Good to be with you again.
You too.
We'll do this again tomorrow, and Janet's got some freaky, funny Friday stuff lined up for you.